Good morning. Welcome to Wall to Wall. I'm your host, Shelley Wiener. I'll be with you until noon. Well, we have some noon headlines in Sugar Shack for 2 hours, but between that time and noon, now and noon, we always have a theme here. And for the past two shows, I've been calling this a prelude to World War I. And what you would have heard if you had been around in those years, and some of the events that were going on at that time. And we can't create, on the radio, we can't create the sights of that time, but we can certainly give you some sense of the music, popular and classical. That piece, actually, that you just heard, which is one of my favorite pieces of music, it's called On Hearing the First Cuckoo in Spring. And you heard the seminal recording, the only one that I think really counts, is Sir Thomas Beecham conducting the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. And the composer was Frederick Delius, another original. He wrote that tone poem. It's not a symphony. Just like La Mer from last week, it's not a symphony. And Debussy was very, 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 he was very specific, and as Delius was. And Delius was English and French. I think he lived most of his life in France, but he's really English by birth. It's a tone poem that was composed in 1912. And funny enough, it was first performed in Leipzig in 1913. And it's the first of two small pieces for orchestra, the other one being Summer Night on the River. But they get broken up a lot, and usually you play one or the other. But they were composed as two pieces. It's just a lovely, lovely recording. And it gives you a sense of, in some ways, kind of elegiac, even though, you know, folks, you know, were, you know, not thinking, really, that there would be a war. Because, you know, after all, history just went upwards, 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 and never went backwards. And we were so modern. And how could we possibly think about war? But in 1911 and 12, there was the Italo-Turkish War. You don't even know about it, right? And it didn't pose any threat to Europe in terms of peace, but the Turkish defeat in that war with the Italians showed that the Ottoman Empire is pretty weak. And there's a disagreement between the European powers about the so-called Eastern questions. You know, this decaying Ottoman Empire, what to do about it. And then this war between the Kingdom of Italy and, which was Kingdom of Italy, and the Ottoman Empire, you know, kind of showed that, there's land for grab, right? And there's land for grabbing and by the Balkan League. And there was that jockeying, for those people who remember the movie Gallipoli. Was going on there. And then we had the Balkan Wars in 1912, where Serbia, Greece, Montenegro, and Bulgaria, they formed this Balkan League. And it was a military alliance against the Ottoman Empire. And they, with their allies, stripped the Ottoman Empire of all its possessions in the Balkans and divided the conquered territory amongst themselves. And in June of 1912, the Bulgarians turned against Serbia and Greece due to the partition of Macedonia. But the Bulgarians were defeated pretty quickly, and they gave up their claims to Macedonia. And that success of Serbia and Greece and Montenegro and Bulgaria shocked a lot of people in France, Italy, Germany, Austro-Hungary, Hungary Empire, and Russia, because, and especially Austro-Hungary, because they were not in favor of a Serbian state. Now, we're getting closer and closer to the assassination, which everybody thinks is the start of World War I, which was kind of a pretext, but it was going on. You can just see what's going on here. Vienna, the Austro-Hungarian capital, saw Serbia as a rival in the Balkans and as a direct threat to its empire because this small Balkan nation wanted to become the core of supposedly greater Serbia, but a southern Slavic state. And this little Balkan war made the Austro-Hungarian government more determined than ever to take some concrete action to prevent the Serbians from gaining power. Okay, that's from 1911 to 1913, 1914. So Delius's music really feels like, oh, everything's just fine. It's just fine. Everything is wonderful. Well, sort of. But there was this guy in the middle of all of that named Maurice Ravel. Maurice Ravel is one of the interesting characters of music in general. And I'll tell you a little more about him in a moment. But at first, I just want you to hear, this is about a 15, 16-minute piece. My husband will say he thinks that Daphnis et Chloé is probably one of the greatest recordings or pieces of music ever made. And it certainly is one of the most interesting, one of the most original. He was an original mind. There was nothing more than music, I think, in his life. But there's a wonderful recording from Charles Dutoit leading the Orchestre Symphonique de Montréal in a wonderful and amazing recording of Daphnis et Chloé. This is the suite number 2, and it's the first part is Lever du jour, Pantomime, and Danse Générale. The whole of Daphnis et Chloé is one of the most amazing, truly amazing pieces of music. And it premiered between the years 1911 and 1913. It's still astonishing. Maurice Ravel's Daphnis et Chloé. Oh, boy. That was Maurice Ravel's Daphne Say Chloe, the suite number two. And that was a ballet, by the way. He got a commission from Serge Diaghilev, the great Russian impresario. And he began the score in 1909, and it premiered at the Théâtre du Châtelet. I was just there in Paris by the Ballet Russe in 1912. And the orchestra was conducted by Pierre Monteux. The choreography was by Michel Fokine. And Nijinsky and Karsavina danced the work. Nijinsky. And Leon Bax did the original sets. And if you think that was leading the world towards a new world, you should try this piece of music. I'm going to play the whole of The Rite of Spring. You hear it in the background, with the bassoon playing way, 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 way up in its register. Igor Stravinsky's seminal work from 1913, right before the start of World War I, that caused a riot in the Paris theater. Also where Nijinsky was trying to dance, this is also a commission from the Ballet Russe. And I'm just going to let it play. It's Igor Stravinsky's Le Sacre du Printemps, The Rite of Spring. He's conducting Columbia Masterworks. It's an amazing piece of music. Even now, it kind of ticks people off, which says a lot 101 years later. I'm going to say goodbye now, and I'm going to let Igor take it away, and I will see you next week. Have a great weekend, and just listen to this piece of music. And if you turn it off, I'm sure someplace Igor Stravinsky is smiling. See you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.